Okay, I want you to again declare, Lord, my eyes see.
Lord, my eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
That you're talking to me.
That you're talking to me.
Amen.
Amen.
Earlier this morning, I heard Isaiah 41. So I want to take you to Isaiah 41. I'm going to be using the NIV on that. And I will start at verse 8. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corner, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and will help you. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. If you haven't got a circle around there, you might consider putting one.
Pastor Kim, where are you again? I'm so sorry.
Isaiah 41.
Okay.
Right now, I'm verse 13, the second part. Do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now watch this, because this is the important part that I believe is pressing in when you have a challenge. He said, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. Notice it's I will make you. I, meaning God is on the job. If you try to create it for yourself, you're going to be trusting in a silly person. Trusting in his ability is a lot better than trusting in your own. You will thresh the mountains and crush them. Mountains mean different things at different times, but they're high places. Okay? And reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them and the wind will pick them up and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and the glory of the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongue are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedars, the acacia, the myrtle, and the olive. I will set pines in the wasteland and fir and cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. Verse 21 is also important. Present your case to the Lord. Set forth your arguments, says Jacob, king. Bring in your idols and tell us what is going to happen, and et cetera, et cetera. I want to kind of skip down to verse 27. I was the first to tell Zion, look, here, and they are. I gave to Jerusalem a messenger of good tidings. I looked, but there is no one among them to give counsel, no one to give answers. When I ask them, see, they are all false. Their deeds amount to nothing. Their images are but the wind of confusion, which is what you do when you're trusting in idols. Many people don't realize what they're doing when they're doing this, but the Lord is not going to be fooled. He's going to pressure you to go to Him directly. Knock on His door. He will open that door. And to confirm a little bit more, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to take you on a short journey there, but verse 13 is the one that I want to focus on. Philippians 2, 13. And I'm using the Amplified because it will pound the message home a little bit deeper. Those of you who have trusted in yourself, those of you who have been trying to succeed on your own, I've got news for you. It doesn't work. 13 says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while actually at work in you. Notice it's in you. Energizing and creating in you, the power and desire, both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. You see, the prophetic word from Isaiah is to try to show us that He's on the job and that He's with you every step of the way. That was the old covenant. He worked with His people on the outside. Correct?
Yes.
And He counseled them and He comforted them and He did what He could. But now, where is He working from? Isn't that cool? St. Paul is trying to make us see the depth of God's concern for us as He now works from the inside. Verse 4. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interest of others. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let Him be your example in humility. Say ouch.
Ouch.
Ouch. Pretty hard to do higher than Jesus, right?
That's right.
All right. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness and attributes which make God God, did not think that this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. That's a mouthful. Although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. 7 is very important. But stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. How much clearer do you want it? He's no longer trying to tell us, I'm going to take care of you from the outside, and that's as far as you're going to go. When we sing that song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, I think I'm already there. Yeah, well, have you stripped yourself? of all rightful dignity? Have you assumed the place of a servant? Have you become like those who want to be worshipped? Or have you decided that Jesus had it all, put it on park, left it there before the Father, and said, I'm going down like a baby? You see, when he was totally vulnerable, God provided parents for him. God provided parents for me. But they gave me away at 9 months old. Why? Because it was God's plan. That was part of my discussion with my niece and her husband over the weekend. We don't understand sometimes why certain things happen to us. I was born with all kinds of brothers and sisters and never knew them until I was in my, actually, 20s and 30s. You see, a lot of things happen to us that we don't understand, and they may be vague for a season. But I truly believe that when Jesus came into this realm and he submitted himself to the Father and he served like an ordinary man, he irritated his neighborhood when he declared that he was the anointed one. They didn't believe him. Verse 8, and after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that in and at the name of Jesus, every knee must is in parentheses, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestion, so now, not only with enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out the goals, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. Self-distrust, that is, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Jesus. Not in his own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourself to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God, without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons, shining out clearly in a dark world. I know I gave you a lot. But you know what? You're not going to digest it all in 2 seconds. If you sit down with a great big roast beef dinner, it's going to take you a while to process. Right now, you've got a lot of meat coming in at you. Looking at this word later on, maybe during the week as the Holy Spirit leads you, you'll see that the Father worked from the outside with the Israelites. But with the Christian believer, he works from the inside out. Totally reversed. They had a whole set of laws which drove everybody crazy because they didn't want to communicate with the Lord. Now he's come inside of us by his Holy Spirit to now communicate back to the Father so that there can be relationship. That's what he's after. A love affair with you. He's not looking at your mistakes because he said clearly he'll take care of it. If he took care of it when he loved them from the outside, how much more can he take care of it when he's loving you from the inside? Yeah. Look at your neighbor right now. Just one set of eyes. Say, he's got you. Right on the inside. And he's going to do a job. He's going to do some house cleaning. Let him do it. You might need a feather duster to get some of the dust out. You might need a vacuum cleaner to get some bigger chunks out. Holy Ghost, do it. You're on the inside. And you have my full permission. Do it. Nike, do it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
That's all she wrote.
Absolutely.